Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Welcome to River Life's Going Deeper podcast. This is a continuing conversation about the deeper things of God. My name is Joe and I'm joined by Scott.
G'day to all thy listeners.
It's become very formal.
How's it going,
mate? Yeah, I'm good. It's good to be here. Today we are continuing our series called Paradigm, where we're looking at the paradigm or the worldview or the space in which we as a church here at River Life operate, what we hold to be really important and central as we are Jesus's disciples in this world. What do we think are the really important things that we want to grab a hold of? And so how do they need to shape who we are and how we live life and how we follow Jesus in this world? And so that's what we're exploring today. Episode 6, we're going to look at Christ's kingdom.
Christ's kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what that means when we say that we are a family embracing the Father's presence, who release empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What are we declaring? What are we demonstrating? Where do we get that idea from? So we're going to do a little bit of Bible work and we're going to see how that impacts us in our daily lives. But more than anything, as we go through this podcast, we're always inviting you to think more deeply and to act more clearly out of who we know Jesus to be.
Very cool. Well, this is quite a timely episode because Easter is quite literally just around the corner.
If you're listening to this. When it comes out.
As it's released.
It's the day before Good Friday.
So, yeah, happy Easter, I guess, if you're listening to this anywhere around that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to talk about Christ's kingdom. Mm. And so, where should we start with this whole idea of kingdom? What does this word even mean and where does it come from?
I mean, look, at a basic level, without getting too intellectual about it, it's the king's domain. That's where it comes from. It's the place where the king has an effective rule and reign, so the place where they're in charge, any king. And so when we looked at, in the medieval times, the kingdom was where a king had an effective way of ruling and living out the core values that they held to be true. The clash of kingdoms throughout history has been where two different kings' land or areas of authority start to overlap and they need to work out, well, who's actually in charge here?
Yeah, right.
And so when we get to scripture and we start to talk about the kingdom of God, as Jesus introduces it, this idea, we're starting to work out where is the effective rule and reign of God? The effective rule and reign of Christ even in the world, and as we'll explore, is it a geographic or political, or is it something else as a kingdom?
Yeah, very cool. Because I guess Jesus came as a king, so he came. That's probably where maybe we should start this whole thing, is that he came as a king.
Yeah, I mean, even at the end of his ministry in the Easter week, in the lead up, he enters Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, a colt, a horse. And so he's coming in as a ruling king. Like, it doesn't come in as a war horse, but it does come in as, as someone who enters in authority. And so the palm leaves that they're waving around, that's a sign of rebellion, of trying to set up a new king.
Yeah.
Throughout the gospel accounts, the disciples and others are wondering, is this the time that he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we going to get to be in charge again?
Yeah.
There's this kingdom motif just playing the whole way through the gospel narratives particularly, but right through the whole Bible.
All right. So this is bringing up a bit of an elephant in the room for me.
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't do things as other kings would. So he didn't actually come into the world and demand that everyone bows down at his feet and that they would make a big pillar out of him and that there would be, gold and all this beautiful stuff of this statue of him and his rule and reign. He did things very differently. He in fact did the opposite. He said, "No, don't talk about me. Don't talk about my kingdom."
In Mark's gospel, he says, don't mention it.
It's a secret. Don't go around spreading it. I'm going to actually go to the least, and I'm going to go to the lowest people of society and heal them and save them. And I'm not going to, necessarily appeal to I'm not going to rock up on the temple courts and like fight my way to the top. I'm going to do it a bit differently.
Well, and this is where I think it's very interesting to look at the whole story of Scripture, because there will be a time when Jesus does those things.
Yeah.
And this is why like something like the prophet Isaiah is really significant, because he sees Jesus in both of the ways that he's going to come. So he sees this suffering servant, but also this reigning king.
Yeah, cool.
And the... In Isaiah, you kind of think it's two different people, but we see in Jesus it's the one person.
Yeah.
That in the first instance of his arrival, as the kingdom begins, he comes as the suffering servant, the one who would serve the least and the lost and the lowest, those who are outcast. He'd create a space where God's kingdom starts to break into the kingdoms of this world. But ultimately, he will come as the one who makes everyone bow. He'll come with a sword. He'll come with vengeance. He'll come and dominate with power. But that's not how he initially comes, because he didn't come to set up a kingdom now like we would expect it to be. He came to set up something else that will eventually become a kingdom. So I think probably a good spot to really start to dig in about what we mean is, what does Jesus have to say about the kingdom?
I guess we should probably look at a good spot. King.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a first.
What did he say?
First point of call.
As he's introducing this idea in his ministry, what he says is probably significant. So I think for me, the first spot to start is in Mark chapter 1, in verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, or the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand,'" or is near. "Repent and believe in the good news."
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm.
So repent and believe.
Yeah. So in Jesus beginning his ministry, the kingdom of God has shown up.
It's started.
And so there's a way to get into it. Repent and believe. And so we come into the kingdom by believing that God is who he says he is, that Jesus is the king. And it starts to then break into our lives. And so this introduces the first idea of Christ's kingdom, is that it's a kingdom not made up of bricks and mortar, but a kingdom made up of hearts and lives.
Yeah, cool. So it's not a physical kingdom.
Yeah, not yet. It will be. We'll get to that.
It will be. But he's coming in to inaugurate and start this spiritual kind of reality, that there's going to be a place where he rules and reigns. And, you know, you've mentioned that it's our hearts now that are, you know, are going to need to bow and to, you know, revere him as the king and as the Lord.
And I think that becomes a really important cultural sticking point for Christians, literally for the whole of the time that there have been Christians. This tension between the spiritual and the physical, because we even struggle with this idea now. When we say church, we think the building, but when the New Testament says church, they're thinking the people who are gathered. That's the church.
Yeah, cool.
And so throughout history, when we say Christ's kingdom, people have wanted to set up a physical kingdom. And we had this whole thing in the Middle Ages about Christendom, about trying to set up a kingdom that God is king of, but run by humans, and it becomes really complicated. And so we were always trying to set up in the natural what God, I think, is designing for the spiritual, in the emotional and the unseen realm that will one day become visible. But right now we're in the unseen part of it. And so we have to start exploring what that means as we declare and demonstrate something which isn't a place to visit, but a reality to experience. What does that mean?
Yeah, cool. So that brings in this whole idea that the kingdom of God is both now and it's also not yet.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is saying, yep, it's a spiritual reality. It's going to eventually be a physical reality. There will be a eternal place to dwell, and the promises.
Where he'll be in charge.
Yeah, he'll be in charge forever. So it's now and not yet.
Mm. We get this idea from Isaiah, I think, in chapter 9, where he starts to have this prophetic declaration of the coming Messiah. And it says in verse 6 that it says, "For to us a child is born and to us a son is given." We know that it's a Christmas kind of verse, right?
Yeah.
It says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So the Son, who is the Everlasting Father, interesting. "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it, and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore."
Hmm.
So there's the coming one whose kingdom will start and will increase. won't necessarily be in its fullness from the instigation of it, from its inauguration, its beginning.
Yeah.
But it's going to consistently increase and spread. It's a government, it's a kingdom, it's a place of authority and ruling and reigning. And so this is the now and the not yet. It's started, but it's not finished.
Yeah, really cool. Very cool. And so Jesus then started that kingdom, and it's now being worked out in the Gospels. But then obviously throw forward 2,000 years, it's still being worked out right now.
Yeah.
And it's eventually going to be, you know, fully realized. But all throughout the Gospels even, Jesus talks so much about this idea of the kingdom, about his kingdom.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way he talks about it. So some people get really upset saying, well, it's God's responsibility, it's all about him, and so we can't do anything about it. It's just him sovereignly working. Other people say it only happens when we do something about it. I would probably sit somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said things like, pray this way.
Yeah.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
Yeah.
Here on earth like it is in the spot where you're already in charge, heaven. And so we're supposed to pray for the kingdom to come.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus is instructing the disciples about how to go and do ministry, he says, go and proclaim, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. As you received freely, so give freely.
Wow.
And so for me, that's like a good example of declare and demonstrate, right? Yeah. Tell them the good news that God's kingdom is breaking into this current situation, and then show them what that looks like.
So cool.
Healing and freedom and deliverance and restoration and wholeness, the wholeness of God being restored to people.
So cool. All right, so this whole idea of Christ's kingdom that is at hand, which is what we're declaring and demonstrating.
Word and deed. Yep.
Declaring and demonstrating Christ's kingdom. So this opens up a whole can of worms for us, because it's saying that what Christ has achieved and accomplished is now available to us. And so all of the stuff that we're about here at River Life is attached to that access point that Christ has made a way for us to participate and enjoy and be a part of his kingdom work.
He told us to seek first his kingdom.
True.
Like look for it. That's go true. After it.
Yep.
Like work towards this. Like invest your life into seeking me and where I'm in charge.
Yeah. Very cool.
I think what is kind of hard to really, as we wrestle with this, what's hard to resolve for us is that because it's an unseen thing, it's kind of hard to go, here's a list of what it should look like.
Yeah.
And I think Paul wrestles with this in the New Testament writings. Like he talks about it in Corinthians, like the kingdom isn't talk, it's power.
Yeah.
So it's the place where the Holy Spirit is actually working effectively to bring about change. He says like the kingdom of God isn't eating and drinking. It's not like this physical thing that you sit down and do. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So there's a sense that when God's presence is there, as we embrace his presence, his kingdom is there. But that's kind of hard to measure and quantify. So we start to look for then the fruit of his kingdom, which is, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit being done through his people.
Okay, I think that's a really key point, that the kingdom is seen as the Holy Spirit in two different things. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is seen, and then even the gifts of the Holy Spirit is seen.
Mm.
That's kind of two things that we can look at and go like, wow, God must be at work here. God must be the king of this, whatever is happening.
Yeah.
He must be at work. He must be the one who is Lord and king over this situation. So when we hear of, you know, just last week we heard of Claude, who walking down the street and sees someone on the side and goes up and prays for them.
Mm.
In that moment, we can see a gift at work there, and we can see the fruit of love.
And so we know the kingdom is at hand.
And so we know the kingdom is at hand. Exactly right.
And Lindsay talked about it. You know, when we live our lives well, modeling Christ, as we are in vocational living, we're showing people, we're declaring with our works and our deeds what the kingdom of God looks like.
Yeah.
And I think for us, then, that goes a step further in that kingdom looks like family. In that, you know, the king that we have is not just a king, but he's the firstborn of many brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
He's the son of a father.
Yeah.
And as the kingdom points to the father and brings glory to his name, so we live in family that represents that. And so for us, kingdom business is family business.
Yeah.
Like, we're a family embracing the Father's presence. And so we're about the family business,
yep.
which is the Son's kingdom.
Yeah. Everything that he's
back
about.
To the Father.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. And so everything that he's about, then we get around and we yeah, participate in and jump in, you know, what he's doing. And so that means openness to him. That means like availability to hear him. That means humility. You know, like, you know, this just does my head in every time I think about it. And it's timely because it's Easter time and stuff. But like Jesus' coronation as king, the only time that he wears a crown as, you know, on this earth is when he's crucified.
Yeah.
And above his head is a crown of thorns. And then above that crown is this sign that says, come on, guys, look at him. This guy's the king of the Jews. This is when he is crowned as king. And so let's look at that. Like, that means that the kingdom of God is full of humility. It's full of laying down ourselves and waiting for him and being, you know, open to what he wants to do rather than what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, the kingdom looks like taking up your cross and following him. And I think that's a really interesting part. And I think for us at River Life, where it probably... it begins but doesn't stop. And so for us, as we talk about the good news of the kingdom,
yeah.
like it's salvation. It's what happens at Easter, and it's our own journey through that.
Of course. In fact, we can't do it without that.
Exactly right.
It has to be a part of it. The good news is the good news of what he's done for us in saving us and bringing him close to himself.
But I love how in Mark's gospel, it's the good news of the kingdom. It's not simply the good news of salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
And so at the cross, we see, you know, well, from the beginning of his ministry, we see the kingdom of God breaking into people's lives. At the cross, we see the kingdom of God broken open for people to enter into freely.
Yeah.
Like through his sacrifice, a way is made for us to enter in.
Yeah.
So everyone's now invited to participate in this kingdom. And he shows us, so you pray and you do. And Paul says it's not just eating and drinking, it's living. And it's actually demonstrating the reality of family and presence and power. It's all of these things. And so for us, when we talk about the good news, we're talking about the kingdom of God breaking in.
Yeah.
The good news, the gospel of salvation, is part of the gospel of kingdom.
Of course it is.
Mark says we talk about the gospel of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And that looks like salvation, but it looks like sanctification. It looks like glorification.
Yeah.
Where he brings everything to this fulfillment when everything is said and done.
Yeah.
And it looks like showing it off as we go.
Yeah.
In the book of Hebrews, it's this unshakable kingdom that we have received now that we're going to fully receive then. And so for us at River Life, we declare and demonstrate this kingdom by telling people Jesus loves them and praying for them that he would show them now in some way, maybe emotionally, spiritually, physically, that he would break into their experience, that they would belong and they would have this chance to participate in family, that yeah. community starts to reflect the reality of this God who is family.
And I think another, you know, it's a little bit off what we've been talking about, but I think another part of this Christ's kingdom thing is that the end picture we have is this, it's a feast, it's a celebration,
yeah.
it's a, you know, it's a party, you know, like it's good times with all those who call him Lord. But I think for us at River Life as well, it's like pulling that reality into now.
Yeah, that's the now and the not yet tension, is that he says, boldly approach my throne of grace and ask for what you need when you need it.
Yeah.
Not once I've come back and restored everything, and it's now like Revelation 21 and 22, where after the final judgment and everything, he's saying, no, now,
yeah.
in your time of need, boldly approach my throne. Grab a hold of what I'm offering to you now.
Yeah.
And this is where like Jesus starts to declare and demonstrate the kingdom of God. So he tells people and he heals people and he restores people and he frees people. And he says, go and do likewise.
Yeah.
Everything I've done, I have the authority to send you to go and do it.
Yeah.
In fact, in John, he says, greater things than I did, you'll do. Go and do it. Be about my kingdom business, setting people free, setting people right, helping people find wholeness in me.
Yeah. And this, like, that's just not an abstract thing or a thing we read about in the Gospels.
No.
That is everyday, ordinary life practical life living tips right there,
yeah,
and things that we are after at River Life. So it looks like when we're on our, you know, on our way to work, like asking God for creativity or, you know, different insight in how, in how you can love someone on the train, or how you can like open up, you know, what God's been doing for you. Or it looks like when you step into a workplace and like, you know, you're praying for God's kingdom to actually come and be a part of that lunchroom or a part of the conversations or a part of the board meeting.
Yeah, what does it look like for your company to actually live out the reality of God's kingdom?
Yeah.
So as we build something here, is it building something for everyone?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, I've got to do this kind of in my lunch break or on a sneaky phone call to a friend. It's like, no, when I'm actually strategizing for our next big expansion as a company, or as we're actually working through this problem that our company's had and we have to lay off people, how does God's kingdom break into this moment?
Yes.
As I'm dealing with my teenager's stress or my aging parents' frailty, where does the kingdom of God break into that? Like, this is an all of life thing. For me, a really good way of kind of getting my head around the heart of Christ's kingdom is this Greek word sozo, which we come up, which is variously translated as salvation, being saved. It's also translated as being physically healed. There's also spiritual freedom and deliverance. Like, it's all of these things. And I think that's a really beautiful picture of what we talk about when we talk about Christ's kingdom. It's my heart being set free. It's my mind finding freedom. It's my body being healed and restored. It's every part of life. It's the fullness. It's the wholeness of God invading the entirety of my life.
Yeah.
And it looks like here, and it's going to look like there. And some of it happens here, and all of it's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And it's the, like you said, pulling into now a taste of what will be fully experienced then.
So whether you're listening to this, on your way to work, or whether you're listening around, the table with your kids, you know, playing in the playroom, whatever it is, what does it look like for you to right here, right now, today? Like, think about it and even ask God, pray just as this episode finishes. Quick prayer. God, what does it look like for me to declare and demonstrate your kingdom in this day? Right here, right now. Not looking forward to the months ahead. Not looking forward to, you know, the years when you're retired. What does it look like right here, right now, to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom? What does it look like for the kingdom of God to be brought into my life right now? Well, thanks so much for listening in. We're going to be back with a final episode next week looking at Paradigm. And really appreciate you tuning in. Have a safe and happy Easter. Pray that you would just have a great time with family and friends, or you'd have some awesome times looking at God and what he's done for you over this season. We'll be back next week with another episode of River Life's Going Deeper.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.